I'm always glad to have the opportunity to be able to stand behind this pulpit. And let me tell you, it's an honor to be able to stand behind this pulpit and be able to stand behind the same pulpit that Pastor Joel stands behind, because we are blessed with an awesome pastor and his wife. We're blessed with a wonderful staff, people who love you, people who pray for you, people who care about you, people who look after your needs, and you're on their heart all the time. You know how you know? Because I'm part of the staff, and we think about you and plan for you, and we pray for you, and we make preparations to be a blessing in your life. And we're glad that you're here. But not only that, I'm just honored to be able to stand before so many wonderful people in this church family. You know, we call it the Dream Team. And you know, I think from being part of this staff for over 25 years, I've been here long enough to know that I've seen Pastor Ronnie that went on to be with the Lord, and he ran ahead of me and some of the others on staff and beat us to heaven. And I've told a lot of people on staff, when I get to heaven, first thing I'm going to do is chew him out for running ahead. And then after that, we're going to rejoice and dance and sing over all that God has been doing. But you know what? The half has not been told about what God is going to do with this church body and with this church plant right here. The foundation is being built for the future. And in a few years, you're going to be able to look back at where we are right now and say, remember the days when we were just starting to grow, just starting to take off as a church, just starting to learn more of the things of God? And it's going to be amazing to see what God is going to do. Some of you that are fairly new to the church, you don't know this, but it's been prophesied by men and women of God of old and from years gone by that not only would we have a campus here one day, which we're just getting started with that, but they also prophesied that this would be called a lighthouse of the South. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you guys know your Bible, so you know that the Bible tells us that the entrance of God's Word gives light. And I've said this for years, it's absurd to be a nerd when you got God's Word. Amen. And for those of you that are in your Bible early in the morning, well, the early bird gets the Word. So start your day off with the Word of God, and I'll tell you what, it'll make all the difference in your day. It'll make all the difference in your relationships. It'll make all the difference in your life. It'll make all the difference in your workplace when you start out your day in the Word of God. And the psalmist used to say, Lord, quicken me according to your Word. That's what David used to pray. You look in Psalm 19, you see it over and over again. He prayed a simple prayer. He said, quicken now me, Lord, according to your Word, which simply means make my life come in line with your Word, spirit, soul, and body. And that's exactly why David was such a mighty man of God. You know, I like the story about David, because when he gathered these mighty men together, they weren't all that way in the beginning. I mean, they were rejects in society, and they were outcasts, and they came from the downtrodden and the brokenhearted and the, you know, disjointed and disfigured. I mean, every kind of bondage, every kind of habit, every kind of hang-up you could think of. But when they looked at David, they saw something different about David, and they, you know, they said in their heart, if I can just get around that guy and just get near to him, then I can begin to grasp a hold of what makes that guy tick. That's why I'm glad you're part of this church family, because if we keep hanging around Pastor Joel and the anointing of God that's on his life, you know what it's going to do? It's going to get off on us. And I'll tell you what, it'll be said of this church, just like it says it in the book of Acts. How many of you know the book of Acts is still being written? It's going to be said of this bunch right here, glory to God. They that have turned the world upside down have come hither also. And the reason why they could say that in the book of Acts was because the world was messed up, wasn't it, Lester? The world was screwed up. And when these guys got a hold of God, they started bringing light to those people. And light began to be spread abroad, and people's lives were being changed. And so the Lord laid upon my heart a message that I shared in healing school just this past Sunday. And by the way, if you know someone that's sick, you know someone that the doctors told you're not going to make it, I would suggest very strongly that you tell them that we teach about the great physician. Amen. Nothing wrong with doctors, nothing wrong with clinics, nothing wrong with medicine. But how many know that God's best is for us to learn how to live in divine health and healing, and take God's healing power out to our world? That's the best. Hallelujah. Well, are you ready for the Word? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and as you're turning there, I'm going to give you two of my very favorite scriptures that I want you to write down and take the time to look up for yourself, but get these scriptures in your heart, because these are scriptures for the last days. These are scriptures that speak to God's from God's heart to yours and mine. Daniel 11 and 32 says, "They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Amen. They that know their God shall be strong. Amen. And do exploits. Tell your neighbor, we're going to be strong and we're going to do exploits. But there's a key to that. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Then the other scripture that I want to give you is found over there in Ephesians 3:20. And most of you know that as soon as I said it. But the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And then it qualifies it according to the power that's working in us. In fact, in one translation, the Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above. It says infinitely beyond your wildest expectations and or dreams. How many of you can dream? How many of you got a big expector? And it says he's able to do way, way beyond that. Way beyond that. And he says, I'll do it according to the power that's working in you. Oh, glory to God. That's some good stuff right there. And you had time there in your Bibles to turn to Matthew chapter 16. And so we'll start in verse 13. The Bible says when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, it says he asked his disciples, those are disciplined followers of the Lord. Amen. He asked his disciples saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And there's a lesson to learn there, because Jesus operated in humility. He knew that he was the Son of God, but he never said it. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he was identifying with humanity. That's why it says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. It's talking about his humanity there. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, amen, and with power, who went about doing good, and that's not all of it, and healing all who were, past tense, oppressed of the devil. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good. Isn't that good? Jesus just went about doing good, and he just went about healing all. And then it says how he healed them, because they were oppressed by the devil. The devil had them beat down. The devil had them whooped. Amen. Until Jesus showed up. But he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And that's a good question. Because there's a lot of religions that talk about who they think Jesus is. They'll say, well, he was just another prophet, or he was just a man that was part of this, you know, religion that people talk about in the Bible here. But he's no different than any other person. How many of you know that if you dare to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior, that the Bible says when the life of God comes in, that God's Spirit will bear witness with your spirit that he lives in there. You say, how do you know that? Because I was a sinner for about 20 years. And the very moment that I said, Jesus, if you're really real, like these people say that you are, and you can change my life like they tell me that you can, Jesus, I'm going to ask you to come into my heart. And I'm going to ask you to be my Lord and Savior. You know what happened? Jesus came into my heart. Jesus became my Lord and my Savior. Jesus' Spirit bore witness with my spirit that I wasn't the same person anymore. And in a moment's time, all of my want-tos began to change, because he came to live on the inside of me. Glory be to God. So he said here, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say that you are John the Baptist, a good preacher, the voice crying in the wilderness. And others said, well, this guy must be Elijah. And others said, well, he must be Jeremiah, or maybe he's one of the prophets. And then Jesus looked at all these guys that were surrounding him, and then he asked a loaded question. And this is the question that the Spirit of God wants to speak to your heart about tonight, because this can make the difference between whether you're strong or weak. This can make the difference between whether you're anointed or not. This can make the difference between whether you're able to run the distance and run your race and finish your course or not. This can make the difference between whether you're weak or whether you're strong. This can make the difference between whether you're healed or whether you're sick. This can make the difference between whether you prosper or barely get along. This can make the difference in how your day goes. This can make the difference in how your week goes. This can make the difference in how your business goes. This can make the difference in how your family goes by how you answer this loaded question. He said here, but he saith unto them, who say ye that I am? Now notice here, he didn't say, who say ye that I was? He didn't say, who say ye that I could be? Who say ye that I might be, that I should be, or that I can be? No, he never did say that. He said, who do you say that I am? I'm glad when I began to learn that, I said, okay, Jesus, since you asked that question, I'm going to begin to answer that. Amen. You're my Savior, Jesus. You're my healer, Jesus. Glory to God. You're my deliverer, Jesus. You're my shield. You're my bread provider. You're my protector. Glory to God. You're my helper. You're my strength. You're my teacher. You're my leader. You're my guide. Glory be to God. You're the anointed one that anoints me. That's who you are. You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Glory be to God. That's who you are. And that's what I began to say, that Jesus is to me. Now, what are you saying about Jesus? Amen. When you're going through hard times, what are you saying about Jesus? There's a man back there that's still alive that maybe shouldn't be. That brother right there. Carrie, will you just stand up for a minute? You can sit right back down. Amen. Everybody wave at Carl. Glory to God. Carl Ray, when we were over in the other church, he stood up on that platform many a night, and he would sing this song that's just a powerful song. And you know what it was? He would sing, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. And then he didn't finish there. He says, and Jesus healed my body, and he told me to run on. Glory be to God. And Carl's been running on since he got a hold of that. Isn't that good? He said, but who do you say that I am? And that's the question I want you to answer in your own heart. Jesus is whatever you need him to be. Amen. God's word says, my God. Amen. That's talking about my Jesus. It says, my God shall supply all your needs, every one of them. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I like what Pastor Ronnie used to say. His name is not El Cheapo. His name is El Shaddai. Come on, that ought to make you shout all the way home tonight. And Jesus answered and said unto them, you are blessed. You are blessed, Simon Barjona. He says, because flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, you are blessed because you know that Jesus isn't just Jesus. He said, you are blessed because you know that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ. Christ means the anointed one. In Isaiah chapter 10, And verse 27, the Bible says it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. So what it's saying there is this: when Jesus, the anointed one, comes to live inside of you and gets involved in your life, whatever is binding you up, the power of God through Jesus Christ coming into your life, it'll break every bondage. It'll loose every habit. Glory to God. It'll change your stinking thinking, if you got that. When the Spirit of God comes on the inside of you. But he says, you are blessed, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. And then he goes on and he tells these guys this. He's speaking to Peter here. But he says, and I also say unto you, he says that you are Peter. He says, I know who you are. Your name is Peter. In the Greek, that word Peter means fragment. Fragment. That means just a little bitty chip off the rock. In other words, he's saying this: when you are part of the family of God and the Spirit of God lives in you, you're a chip off the old block. Oh, you'll get that on the way home. Amen. He said, Peter, you're just a little fragment of a rock. Over there in John, the first chapter, he says, in another translation, he says, Jesus, you're just a stone. Did you know that he was the original stone, Peter was? Now, there's the rolling stones, but they ain't part of this stone here. That's why the Rolling Stones have been singing forever and a day. I can't get no satisfaction. They're still singing that song. That's why they call them the Rolling Stones. They're just rolling all over. Amen. If life is taking them this way, they just roll right with it. But when Jesus comes in, man, we got a rock. He said, you're a fragment of the rock, Peter. But then he didn't stop there. He says, you're a fragment of the rock. You're a little fragment. You're just a little Petros. But he says, Peter, you're just a fragment of the rock. But he says, but upon this rock. Yes. Amen. The revelation knowledge of God's word. He said, upon this rock, having the revelation knowledge of God's word, having God's word going in your heart. He said, on this rock. And the literal meaning of that is this: just like the rock of Gibraltar, a big old solid rock, a foundation that can't be moved. He says, when you get your life built on the foundation of the Word of God, he says, you're like a rock, man. Your life is rock solid. When people are running this way and that way, looking at the news and all the stuff that's going on, he said, you won't be like that because your life is built on a sure foundation. It's built on the revelation knowledge of God's word. That's why if you're not used to praying the Ephesians prayer in Ephesians 1, that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, you need to be praying the Ephesians 1 prayer so that you can have that solid foundation being built up in your life. Now, listen, why is it important to get grounded in what we're talking about tonight? When Jesus said to the disciples, who do you say that I am? And he said, you're the Christ, you're the anointed one. You're the Son of the living God. And he said, because you know that I'm the anointed one, and you can tap into that, he said, you are highly blessed. He says, and your house will be built on a rock. And then he doesn't stop there. Look at here in verse 19. And because of what you begin to learn from the knowledge of the word, he says in verse 19, he says, and I will give unto you the keys, amen, of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. What are the keys? Well, when you get into the Word and you begin to learn your authority and your power, when things happen to you, you don't just let things happen to you. you start copping a spiritual attitude and you don't put up with sickness and you don't put up with lack and you don't put up with defeat and you don't put up with petty stuff, amen, and you don't put up with worrying and you don't put up with not getting a good night's sleep, you don't put up with any of that mess, you dig your heels in and you say in the name of Jesus, enough is enough. You cop what I call a Holy Ghost attitude. And he says, when you come to that place, you need to know that all of heaven is backing you up. Now, here's the key. It says, whatever you bind on earth, it'll be bound in heaven. But whatever you loose on the earth, when you have the keys in your hands, you have the keys to live free. You have the keys to bind up whatever's binding you and to loose whatever needs to be loosed. Tell your neighbor, say, Jesus has given you the keys to bind and to loose. When you keep that in mind, you'll cook Satan's goose. Isn't that good? He told me that years ago and I've never forgotten it. He said, I've given you the power to bind and to loose. And when you keep that in mind, you will cook Satan's goose. Glory be to God. I'm telling you, there are too many Christians when things happen, they just have their little pity party and they get their little violin out. Amen. And they just start singing that song, poor old me. Things have always been that way. And without realizing it, they start settling in, and a lot of junk that the enemy's putting on them and he's got no business being able to do, he's doing it anyway. And we're going to find out that Jesus knew what he was talking about. Jesus knew what it was like to operate in binding and loosing power. Amen. And he lives in us. You want to know how to operate in that? Well, two of you do. Glory to God. Me and Lester are going to find out how to operate in what Jesus did tonight. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Praise God. This was the story of Moses when he was 40 years in the desert because he ran in fear. And we're going to pick up the story here in the third chapter, starting in verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked and he beheld, and the bush was with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now here's a little side trip. But how many of you know when you get in the Word of God, the entrance of God's Word gives light? The one of the prophets says is his Word was like fire shut up in my bones. How many of you know you can get all the fire of God on the inside of you want, and it ain't going to consume you? Amen. It'll fire you up, and when you get around folks that need to be delivered and healed and set free, you'll be the one letting that stuff go out of you. Amen. But anyway here, he says here, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire in the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside, and I will see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Let me tell you something about God. He wants to show you great things. But sometimes you have to realize the only way he can do that is when you turn aside. You have to turn aside from your busy life. You have to turn aside from your busy schedule. You have to turn aside from things that maybe you think are important. And when you decide to turn aside, then you're going to have heaven's attention. And God will begin to show you great things. You say, well, how do you know that? Listen, I've gotten into so many messes, probably more messes than all you guys put together through the years. I've been pretty good at it sometimes. Not bragging on it, just being real with you. But did you know that every time when I've gotten in a difficult situation and I've said, now, Lord, you know everything about what I'm dealing with. You know my situation. I don't try to hide anything from you. Everything's open. But, Lord, what do I do? And did you know that every time I've done that, the Lord has called me by name and said, Dean, I wish you'd have asked me about that way back when, because we could have taken care of it. Now, I know that's never happened to any of you. And Moses said, I will now turn aside, and I will see the great sight in the bush that's not burnt. And when the Lord saw that, he turned aside to see. And God called unto him out of the midst of that bush. And watch what he did. He said, Moses, Moses. Tell your neighbor, God's got your number. And he's got your name. Your number is number one. Amen. But he called on to him twice just to make sure that Moses knew he was talking to him. And Moses said, here am I. And he said, draw not near right now, but put your shoes off from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. The reason why he had to say that is because as nice of a guy as Moses was, his feet took him to places where he shouldn't ought have gone. And God said, I want to talk to you, but there's one stipulation. You got to get those dirty shoes off. So he took his shoes off, and he was allowed to go into the holy presence of God. He said, the place where you stand is holy ground. And then he says, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. Now, I want you to notice this is very important. When he's talking to Moses here, once again, he's referring to himself as I am. Not I was, not I could be, might be, should be, ought to be. No, he says, now watch this. He says, I am, present tense. I'm the God of your father. Watch this. In the same verse, he says, I am, present tense, the God of Abraham, gone generations before. I am the God of Isaac, gone generations before. Still calls himself I am. Are you seeing that? And I am the God of Jacob. Glory to God. And he says, and Moses hid his face and he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely, watch this now, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. Now, I want you to circle the word Egypt here, because Egypt here is a type of bondage. And did you know that God hasn't changed? You and I know that if you walk outside this church house and go back to your neighborhood or go back to your workplace or go back and mingle with your family or people that you know, there are people all around you who are hurting. There are people all around you that are sick, broke, barely getting along, having a hard time with life. But the Lord said, I have seen the affliction of my people, he called them. They were beaten down, which are in Egypt. And he says, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. He's talking to Moses here. He says, and I've looked at all the people that need help. He says, I've seen what they're going through. I've heard their cries and the sorrow that's in their heart. He says, I'm familiar with all that. I'm familiar with everything that they're dealing with. He says, I know their sorrows. Did you know that the Bible says that God's eyes are over the righteous and his ears are open unto our cries? Help is only a call away. Isn't that good? I hope you're thinking about this stuff tonight. Egypt was a type of bondage, and the Lord says, because Moses turned towards him, he says, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt in bondage. I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. And he says, and I know their sorrows. And verse 8, this is so good. He says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians. In other words, he says, I'm coming down to get them out of bondage and to bring them up out of the land onto a good land and a large land flowing with milk and honey, onto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites and all those other ites. He says, "And now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith these people are oppressed." Now watch where he's leading to with this. Seeing the condition of the people, and Moses, he's calling him out, and Moses doesn't even realize what's going on here. He says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth those people, and you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt," or out of bondage. In verse 11, "And Moses said unto God, Well, who am I?" In other words, he says, "I'm a nobody. That I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt." And here he's saying, "I'm not up to the job. I'm not up to the task." But verse 12, the Bible says, "And he said, Certainly, I will be with you. And this shall be a token unto you that I have sent you. When I have brought forth the people of out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain." In other words, he's saying, before it ever happened, I'm going to bring these people out, and I'm going to do it by using you. Verse 13, the Bible says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, Well, what is his name? What shall I say unto them?" In other words, he says, "How can I tell these people who you are?" And this is where we're leading to tonight. And God said unto Moses, this is so powerful. This is for you and me tonight, just as it was for those people back then. "And God said unto Moses, I am that I am." In other words, it says in my margin of the Bible, he says, "I save in the manner that I save." You know what he's saying there, people? He's saying there literally, "I will do whatever it takes to get people out of bondage. I will do whatever it takes to get people blessed. I will do whatever it takes to manifest my miracle power. I will do whatever it takes to give them all the help that they need." He says, "And you shall say unto them, The children of Israel, I am, has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shall you say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob have sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this shall be my memorial unto all generations." Now let's turn here real quickly to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to end with this. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. The Bible says here, "And Jesus came, and he spoke unto them," that's his disciples, "saying, All power." Tell your neighbor, all power. All power. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo," tell your neighbor, "lo isn't an Oriental fella." Amen. He says, "And lo," he says, "I am with you even unto the end of the world." So we have a mandate from the Lord. Just as much as Moses was in his generation. And even though Moses had had a call of God on his life 40 years earlier and assumed that the people would knew what his job was supposed to be, and he got in fear and he ran. And he wasn't able to deliver the people in the way that he thought that he was. But God kept his hand on that man. And when the time came where the Lord said enough is enough, he began to speak to Moses and he began to convince him. You can go back and read Exodus chapter 4 as well, and you can see how they went back and forth. Moses came up with one excuse after another why he wasn't the man, why he couldn't do it, can't speak well enough, not an oracle for God. All these kind of excuses, and God didn't listen to a one of them. Because when he began to talk to Moses, Moses began to say, well, I don't have what it takes, and I'm not good enough, and I'm not the one you need. But you know, the Lord waited until Moses got done talking, and when he made up all of his excuses, the Lord just blew it all off and said, hey, you're going to do it. And I'm telling you, what we need to see in this day and this hour is people that can answer that question. And when your friends or family, or maybe people that aren't even of the Christian faith, begin to ask you, who is your God? Who do you say your God is? You need to be bold enough to say that my God has a name. And my God's name always has been and is now and always will be. His name will always be I Am. Amen. Amen. I am your Savior. I am your healer. I am your deliverer. I'm your shield. I'm your bread provider. I'm your protector. I'm your helper. I'm your strength. I'm your peace. I'm your anointer. I am that I am. God is saying to you, no matter what you're going through, and people that you come in contact with when they're going through stuff, you can look them right in the face and say, you know what? I serve a God that's the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he's the same forever. How many of you can testify that when you were in a bad place and you called on the name of the Lord, he showed up right on time? Aren't you glad for that? I know that people have preached messages in the past about he's the God of the second chance. I don't believe that. I believe he's the God that gives you all the chances you need. Say, how can you say that? Because his mercy's new? Amen. You might mess up one night, but the next day when you wake up, his mercy's right there waiting on you to get up and grab it. Amen. They that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Why? Because I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is the I am that lives on the inside of you. Amen. The I am that caused Jesus to walk on the water is the I am that lives in you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have the same spirit living in us that Jesus had in him, and we have the same potential. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand up together. And when you feel like quitting, just point to yourself and say, I am, it's time for you to rise up on the inside of me. And he'll do it every time. He'll do it every time. He'll do it every time. He will heal you every time. Glory to God. He'll provide for you every time. He'll show up for you every time you need him to, because he's always the great I am. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for all these precious ones that are tonight. And Father, I thank you, Lord.